Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Sawgrass is doable. Sawgrass, just book a tee time, $750. I'm going to go ahead and click on book a tee time. See tee time.
You're going to book one right now?
I'm just going to look. What's wrong with looking? You know, I'm not buying. Just want to know.
If I said your ticket to the Masters is you have to eat an egg salad sandwich while you're there, you would do it.
If you say eat this egg salad full sandwich?
Full sandwich. You have to eat it while you're on the grounds at Augusta.
Nope, not doing it.
Unbelievable.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. It's going to be windy today. Your favorite for golf, Joe.
And I'm golfing today.
Gusting of,
on the lake.
Gusting 45 miles per hour.
It's going to be great. I'm playing with some guys who have lower handicaps than me. It's going to be nice equalizer.
I know the course.
Going to make it worse.
You're playing on a lake, and it's going to be. Let me actually.
I think it'll make it worse. Usually would make it worse.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Let me punch in Fredonia here on the weather and see if
maybe
it's going to be even windier.
Might be really bad.
Yeah. Have a good time with that. Remember, you like it windy.
I will. I embrace the challenge.
Oh yeah,
you of it being windy.
Here we go.
I embrace it. As,
okay.
As long as it's a right to left wind,
right?
Because of my my little slice off the tee there. I mean that would be absolutely perfect. It'd be a dream.
Steady winds about 18, gusting as high as 38.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
That's what you want to golf.
38. We laugh at 38.
That's what you want to golf in.
38. Hold we are on. Supposed to get some thunderstorms, I thought, at some point today. Although I feel like we've been supposed to get thunderstorms for like 3 days in a row, and I haven't seen a raindrop.
Yeah.
So
38 is a fresh breeze, just shy.
A fresh breeze.
Just shy of a strong breeze.
I mean, come on. What is so strong breeze? What, 40?
39. Yep.
They can just go up to
large
make it clean.
Large branches in motion, whistling heard in overhead wires, umbrella use becomes difficult, empty plastic garbage cans tip over.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know the Beaufort wind scale includes land conditions like that? They'll tell you that umbrella use becomes difficult.
Yeah. When does umbrella use become impossible? Is that when we get to the 1 mile per hour more, when we get to the strong winds?
When we get to high winds, that's at 50, and that says skyscrapers sway in 50 miles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
get a golf
simulator on top of a skyscraper. You know, you like to golf in the wind. It'll be swaying. You'll be happy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
a golf simulator on a rooftop bar somewhere outside. Yeah.
I went to the simulator last night. I took my son to the simulator last night. And
nice.
Yeah, it's great. Like they have putting games that are these wacky putting games, and he loved that. And there's also a couple of games where you can kind of just hit the ball. And as we're leaving, he's 4 years old. As we're leaving, he says, "You know, Daddy, like, can we build one of these at our house? So you get a cardboard box and a sheet, and we'll hit the ball at the sheet, and we'll have one of these at home."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "You're saying you want a simulator?"
Mm-hmm.
"Yeah, I want a simulator." Talk to your
there
mom.
There you go.
Talk to your mom.
There's your ticket. I think you just have to go ahead and do it for his birthday next year. And then when pressed about it, just say, he asked for it.
That's right.
What do you want? I asked what he wanted for his birthday, and here it is.
That's right.
You know a guy that can build you something, too.
True.
I'm a carpenter over here.
There you go. You got
your resources ready to go.
Here we go.
I don't exactly know how much they cost, you know, based on which one you get, which thing. But I said, "Well, buddy, those are kind of expensive. You need some space, and you need like $20,000. And he said, "Can you get $20,000? All right. He's not coming off this anytime soon.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he wants us to get a golf simulator now, which I don't think will be happening. But anyway, it was great. You know, get out there and get him swinging the club.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Did they have the like Angry Birds game on there?
Yes, there's a couple. There's one where you hit a ball and it hits monsters in a castle.
Yes.
And there's another you throw dynamite at exploding cars. Yeah.
Okay.
We played the kids' games.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
It was, you know, quality time spent. I got some swings in. He got some swings in. We played a couple holes at Bandon Dunes. You know,
have you thought about already, like, when you'll take him on the golf course for the first time, and like how you'll go about that?
He's been around greens and putted, but the first time I'll actually have him swinging,
yeah,
it'll be
like, I remember when I'm 5-6 years old, I would go once in a while, hit my ball, but I would then have to pick my ball up and take it to my dad's ball.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yep,
I'm not gonna hit 15 shots every hole.
I don't remember how old I was when I first went with my dad. I know I you know, when you're like 8 to 10 is when you start to drive the cart, right?
Okay, yeah.
What age does your dad?
You're not at four.
You can't reach the pedals. You got to be able to reach the pedals to drive the cart, even though that might not exactly be, you know, it might be frowned upon.
At 8, are you? Yeah, I guess you could.
Am I ten driving the cart? You can drive a go kart. You can drive a golf cart. And if you've ever, you know, as a kid, driving the golf cart is one of the more appealing things to playing golf.
If you can drive a go-kart, you can drive a golf cart. Okay. Yeah, that's probably, I mean, you're in a more controlled environment, I feel like, in the go-kart.
You got less room for error. In a golf cart, you got wide open, yeah, you got fields.
That's true, but...
And competitors in golf.
There are trees, and there are more obstacles, and, you know...
Yeah, but you're not racing.
Creeks.
And in a golf cart, your dad can just, like, grab the wheel or step on the brake. In a go-kart by yourself, you're probably, you know, doing your own thing.
That's true.
The thing I remember about playing golf as a kid was my dad let me tee up the ball no matter where I was.
Okay.
So I'd be in the fairway, and I would tee up the ball a little bit and hit it off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I also hit a 7-iron for 98% of my shots when I was learning how to play.
So 7-iron's your best club now?
You know what? No.
No? All that practice?
I don't know that I would even have a club I could call my best club. I have no idea. I'm not even comfortable enough. I'm not confident enough in anything that I do to say I'm good with this.
Hmm.
No.
You don't have a favorite.
I wouldn't say that. To me, there's a...
Oh, you have a favorite, but you wouldn't say you... Because that feels like you would just automatically pick whatever club you're best at.
I would put them in tiers like NFL quarterbacks, you know?
Okay.
Like, the drop-off from my 6-iron to my 5-iron in confidence is significant. The drop from my 8 to my 7... In the golf bag is, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
no one's confident in the 60.
I am. You are? Yes, I'm very confident.
Okay,
in the 60.
Well, there you go. You're unique, I think.
I'm very confident in like the 3-wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a new driver. I'm still building it. So,
all right.
Yeah. So a tier based system, I guess. The driver is high on the tier based system because it. I'm not mad at it yet. I guess.
Hmm.
I got to go out and play more. Anyway, 100 holes a week from today.
Nice.
I'll have an opportunity.
Hope it's not blistering hot, but it looks like it could be.
Listen, if you gave me the choice between 90 degrees or 40-mile-an-hour winds, I would take 90 degrees.
You'll be comfortable in the wind.
No.
You're not going to be sweating profusely if it's 30-mile-per-hour winds.
I can't think of anything worse than playing 100 holes, and you have a par 4 that's 400 yards into a 30-mile-an-hour wind. It would be misery to play that many holes in wind. To work so much harder when you're playing in the wind.
You think you're working harder doing that than if it's 92 degrees and you're sweating, walking up and
100%.
Because that'll drain you. The heat will drain you.
I got Gatorades. I got hydration drinks.
You get windbreakers.
Doesn't work.
Well, that'll work for
you. You can't put a windbreaker on your golf ball. That doesn't work. If they invent that, I'll play in the wind.
They invent like those shields that like shoot out of like the spaceships when they come back to Earth, like the heat shields.
Okay.
Like a golf ball that like shoots out a little like a reverse umbrella.
I'll get the guys at Encore.
Or how about that right away? How about a parasail that shoots out of the golf ball when you're with the wind, and then your ball travels like 600 yards. Now we're talking.
Encore's on it.
These are just ideas.
Get the R&D team on it.
Yes, right, this is just me in a room with them just spitting ideas.
Encore's new parasailing ball.
Yes.
All right. Why not? 803-0550, our number. Happy Thursday. The NHL offseason's upon us. The Bills have a training camp schedule, which did get me thinking about golf. And by the way, we already have 2 invites out there. So,
beautiful.
Lining it up. We're going out to camp 8 times, it would appear.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much just know we're going to be there if they're practicing in the morning. We're going to be there.
Yes.
And there are 8 morning practices during the week, so we're probably out for 8 shows in Rochester. And it's not that far away. It's a month and 4 days. Not bad.
I'm very excited. I love doing the show outside, which we get the chance to do there. And I don't know what we'll get for storylines this go-around versus maybe past training camps. But either way, something always presents itself, I think. Hairston will battle for a starting job, right? And James Cook probably won't be signed when we show up. So I think we'll still have what does Dalton Kincaid look like?
Yeah, I think
even just how many, like, what does his muscle tone look like?
If I was guessing ahead of time, this will be a fun game. What will be the story of camp?
Yeah,
and I will guess that it will be a 3-week hype train for Kincaid and Coleman.
Yeah,
that's what it'll be. How they look, whether they look different, whether they look better, which we're already hearing that from OTAs, from minicamp, that Kincaid was in the gym the whole time and he was hurt, and Coleman is ready to take it, whether it's more seriously or if it's just he's in a better space to prepare to live life as an NFL player. I think that training camp will be about those two. Mm-hmm. The Bills' last two top invested offensive players and how they're ready to break out and make a difference. That or Elijah Moore, who... Again, like, I guess toss him in that bucket.
Is it funny that we go right to Moore for that and not Palmer?
Yes,
because
I think
Palmer
so.
Is he really is like the same to me. The same caliber of player. He's paid way more and on a multi-year contract. But there is, I don't know if it's just because he's newer and we talked about Palmer when he signed and then Moore was kind of, you know, post-draft. But something about it is drawing me and I think many to Moore for this. Is that because we know Palmer's going to have a role and Moore, it's more of a question?
Isn't it anything you say about Moore, isn't it because he's a guy that got 100 targets?
Yeah. That's
the only reason he's played on another team and got a lot of targets.
That's right.
And targets are earned. And if you went to Cleveland and got 100 targets, wait till Josh Allen gives you 100 targets. Mm-hmm.
And Palmer did have 100 targets, but that was 3 years ago. So they've each had 100 targets once, but Moore, it just happened last year, and with Palmer, you got to go back to 2022.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a big reason for it. And a lot of it could also be you go back to their draft classes, and, I mean, Josh Palmer is a third-round pick in 2021. I don't remember ever thinking about him before that NFL draft. Maybe we would have mentioned his name leading up to it.
Josh Palmer.
Yeah. But I don't remember it.
No.
Moore was like a guy I was watching highlights and film breakdowns of, like, on a bi-daily or a weekly basis leading up to that draft, trying to figure out which guy I liked the most. And I think when it got to draft day, he was the one I liked. And I don't really want to knock him too much for the career he's had because of the quarterback point. I don't know how often that ends up being true, that, oh, this guy only wasn't good because of his quarterbacks, and then he goes to a good quarterback, and it does actually look different. But, I mean, it makes sense on paper that it would be different.
Who is the Rushmore of that?
Guy who couldn't do it because his quarterback stunk, and then...
Yeah.
He went to the good quarterback and it worked?
Yeah. Or maybe it didn't stink, but it wasn't there. People weren't convinced. Is A.J. Brown on this list? He didn't stink, but he wasn't thought of the way that he is now.
No, he's arguably, a top three receiver in the league right now?
Yep.
And was very good in Tennessee.
Right. With the Titans, his career high in catches was 70. And with the Eagles, that's 88, 106, and then 67 last year because he missed time.
Okay. That's a pretty good one.
It's a decent one. I feel like he was known to be good, just not thought as like a top four, top five receiver.
Locally, was John Brown this a little bit? Were his quarterbacks – did he have Jackson for a year? No, he didn't. Flacco probably. And then who was Arizona's quarterback before the Bills with Josh Allen? It's not Kyler.
Beasley is in this discussion, but
about like Wes Welker for this?
Okay, but isn't he a guy that was thought of well, then goes to Brady and it's like, well, he's only good because of Brady? Not
Okay,
they unlocked him.
That's
football's always arguing over who is actually good, and they can't both be good.
Yeah,
only one guy's allowed to be good.
The 2 years before New England, Welker had 29 catches for 400 yards, and the next year, 67 catches for 687 yards. And then he goes to New England, and he immediately rattles off 300 catch yard seasons.
Yeah.
So, okay, like, came to mind as a guy that elevated at least. And probably what would the Patriots fan have said about him in 2007? Or what would a reporter have said about him? Like, hey, this guy, they like his skill set. You know, don't worry about the stats. You know, the stats don't look as good because, you know, it was Miami.
Right.
It's going to look better here. It's a little closer.
Had me thinking about Jalen Waddle yesterday, talking about Marcel Louis-Jacques and how Waddle has been kind of forgotten about there.
I don't know what's going on with him.
He's good. There's no doubt about that. All right, who else is on the list? He got to a better... I mean, Diggs was good. He got to a better situation and was great.
Yes.
That's one.
Some of these, though, like, even is like, he... Diggs is this because Cousins is pretty good.
Pretty good.
And, like this is... That's not Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore's quarterbacks weren't pretty good. They were horrible. Like Zach Wilson and the Streliever guy that we keep talking about in trivia questions that played for the Jets. Yeah, like that was one of his quarterbacks in New York.
Streveler,
whatever.
Something.
Guys you've never heard of.
You might be right.
Throwing the football to Elijah Moore. Like, he didn't have Ryan Tannehill throwing him the football. He had nobodies.
Yeah.
Terrible quarterbacks throwing him the football.
On our YouTube chat, AC mentions Garrett Wilson. The only problem with that is he's great now. He's had 1,000-yard seasons with everybody.
Yeah,
you can't say he's a bum with Zach Wilson because he's great with Zach Wilson.
Right. Some guys are so good that they're quarterback proof. Right. Yep. Isn't Mike Evans this a little bit?
Isn't Justin Jefferson's quarterback proof?
Jefferson probably is. Yeah. Like
all of a sudden Sam Darnold's good. Yeah. Right? Like, you know.
That's right. But like, how many different quarterbacks has Evans played with? Since 2014, like
Brady,
it doesn't
Jameis,
matter who it is.
Baker.
I guess a lot of those guys aren't. Again, this is part of the point. Like, those are pretty good quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and we're not talking Elijah Moore or bad quarterbacks.
There's a pretty big gap between Brady and Jameis. Speaking of all this quarterback talk, coming up at 8 o'clock today, Kevin Cole of the Unexpected Points Substack and podcast, and he does a series. We actually were talking about it maybe yesterday or the day before, ranking all the quarterbacks and their GOAT status, and it had. What, like Trent Green above Troy Aikman, which is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into his methodology. He has dropped where Josh Allen is, which is 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Josh and Lamar are very close to each other and at about 31st overall ever to play the game. Right now, that's where they kind of lock in. So we'll talk to Kevin Cole about that at 8 o'clock, where Allen can move to. Because I'd say to you, I think he's better than Roethlisberger. I would not dispute Roethlisberger had a better career. So Allen's got to do more to pass Roethlisberger. And
right.
It'll be interesting. So that's 8 o'clock today. Bill's training camp schedule is out. And we were just kicking around the idea of like who's the standard for a receiver that popped with a better team, that popped with a better franchise.
It's surprising that never happened with a Bills receiver. Like, because you would think they had some talented receivers during the drought.
Lee Evans and Stevie Johnson would have been a case for this. They were also both kind of good here, not wasted. I mean, Stevie had 3 1,000-yard seasons. If Evans had played with a real quarterback, a really good quarterback, I feel like his career would have gone a lot differently.
Right, but he was almost here too long.
Yes.
Right? He was here for 7 years.
I watched a video last week of Chad Johnson saying that Stevie Johnson had the best release package in football and that he would have been great with somebody else other than Fitz. He was pretty good with Fitz, and his career went to San Francisco and L.A., and nothing really happened after that, so... A guy leaving the Bills and blossoming. I mean, didn't happen with Gabe Davis. Didn't really happen with Robert Foster. I mean,
Sammy Watkins,
right? That's that.
Watkins got elite quarterbacks too, and it still didn't. I mean, he might have just been.
He would have been
torched by injuries at that point.
He would have been a great theory for this. Like, I think he'll become great. It never happened.
No, he was. I mean, he was good at the start. That's where I almost wondered, did he just get injured so much that it couldn't really stick, because he was talented. Those first 2 years for the Bills, I mean, I think he's second in Bills history in receiving yards per game. Like, there was production there.
I have a confession to make on Sammy Watkins, and that is that right now, it's before 7 a.m., I can't remember who they traded him to. Because he played for a million teams.
I could tell you who they traded him to. Do you remember the teams he played for? Get the gears grinding here at 6:23. Who did he play for?
He played for
four teams.
The Ravens. He played for the Chiefs.
Yep, that was for 3 years.
He played for the Rams.
The Rams is who the Bills traded him to.
Okay, because I thought it was Darby they traded to the Rams, but Darby was to the Eagles?
Darby was to the Eagles, and they got Jordan Matthews back.
Okay, yeah, right. Another... No,
Forgotten Bill. You also missed the Packers for Watkins.
Packers, yeah.
So he played with Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, and Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes was the one I hadn't mentioned there.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really work for him.
No, and his career high in yardage was with Kyle Orton.
Well.
Yeah, I don't – maybe – is this proof a little bit that maybe it doesn't happen as much as we think? The receiver that – oh, guys, he's going to be better here because this is the best quarterback he's ever had. And then, you know, maybe it shouldn't be so automatic.
I think it happens. I just think you should temper your expectations. Mm-hmm. What probably happens? A guy like Elijah Moore, like, not a lot there to, he's pretty good. You're not just going to launch to the Jamar Chase threshold. If you are that good, then you're going to be that good with anybody.
Right. Like a guy that would have been a good test of this, although I don't know how good his quarterback's about to be this year, but like DJ Moore would have been a good test of this, right? He's really good.
Yep.
But he's had nobody. Like he's had Bridgewater and like the ancient remains of Cam Newton and just nothing. Throwing him the football in Carolina. Kyle Allen maybe is one of his most popular quarterbacks. And then it's like, okay, well, he's finally going to get a great quarterback, but I don't know if his quarterback's actually great. We'll see. Ben Johnson. But
yeah,
that was supposed to be a guy that would elevate with a better quarterback, and we'll see if he actually gets a better quarterback. Because I don't know that I would say Caleb Williams has actually been so much better yet. Than any of those Panthers guys.
803-0550 is our phone number. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Thursday. 11-day power play is underway.
Yep.
Got some family playing.
Opening ceremonies last night.
WGR team plays a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
I'll miss that because of the 100 holes, which apologies to the WGR team. So that's going on. Ryan for Roswell's coming up. It's fundraiser season. It's also NHL offseason. We had a trade yesterday in the NHL. The Predators and the Devils struck a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So trade season. All right. Let's see it.
There's a lot of rumors. This might be the best looking free agent class that I've seen in the NHL, and it's, you know how like you'll project, you'll look out a year and be like, all right, who's going to be in free agency next year? And then the list is amazing because nobody has signed yet. This is one I feel like where a lot of those guys didn't end up signing. Like more than, we talk, Marner comes up a lot and Sam Bennett and Ekblad come up a lot, but like almost a Sabre, like 1,000 times, Nikolai Ehlers is going to be a free agent. And Brock Besser is going to be a free agent. And, like, Ivan Provorov is, like, 15 down the list. Like, there's a lot of good names.
Well, I've got three names on the Daily Faceoff top 50 free agent list that I'd like to talk about. And all three of them are goalies.
Okay.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Doesn't seem like there's a path for a goalie, but we should, of course, be talking about a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need saves. And if you want to tell me where they're coming from, I'm all ears.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not convinced. 803-0550. I also was going to think of a fun game where, like, Frank Saravelli and Daily Faceoff's top 50 free agents over-under are one of the highest Sabre hits on this list.
I was thinking, isn't it? I meant to look this up and I hadn't yet. Are we going to get the biggest free agent contract that Kevin Adams ever given out this summer? Like, what would the odds of that be?
To who?
But it's the thing. I don't think the bar is. What is the biggest contract they've given out? Is it Clifton?
3.3. Something like that.
They gave, that was in like, so what, nine total? They gave Taylor Hall eight total.
Yeah.
But that was 1 year. Isn't it amazing that was Kevin Adams?
I was going to say, the highest multi-year free agent contract is what you're asking.
Right. Even just the most total money they've given in a contract. I think Clifton might be the answer.
All right.
So, I don't even know if it would be saying anything for me to say, oh, they're going to sign their highest paid free agent of this GM this summer. I'll look to see if we're missing anybody, but I think it might be Connor Clifton.
When we get back, give us the leader in the clubhouse. The highest AAV on a multi-year free agent the Sabres have signed. 803-0550. Sabres offseason is here. Bills training camp schedule is out. We've got plenty to get to. Tom Brady opening a Hall of Excellence.
Just this.
Yeah, do you want to go? Road trip, Hall of Excellence.
Where is it?
Vegas, of course.
Fantasy football punishment.
Yeah.
You go to the Hall of Excellence. It doesn't sound that bad.
Trip to Vegas is a fantasy football punishment, though.
Right. It doesn't sound that bad.
You can only go there.
I'll get you some of the details. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe, good morning on WGR.
I got some DMs from Sabres fans who, you know, after the last one with Paterka, when we talked about the strategy and the situation around him that kind of changed, they were panic asking about Tuck. Has Tuck changed his mind too? Like, how does he feel? Because he's eligible for an extension on July 1st. There's zero indication out there that Tuck has either told the Sabres he wants to be traded or he won't sign an extension if one is offered to him. I mean, we'll see what happens. Obviously, at some point in time, the Sabres will go to him about an extension because he can sign one after July 1st. But I've been told there's no indication that Tuck has told the Sabres he won't consider it.
Elliot Friedman. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Until it gets to the start of the season without an extension, you know.
Right. When do you get nervous?
Well,
if you get to September 1st and he isn't signed.
I'm not going to say I won't get nervous, but it benefits both the Sabres and Tuck to act like everything's fine. Their messaging,
yes, that's right.
Their messaging should be a unified, "Oh yeah, we're going to, you know, we'll get together. We don't feel any pressure here.
Mm-hmm.
We love Alex.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the Sabres." The messaging on that should be that throughout. The problem is every day that goes by is going to be a little bit more of a In the meantime, I think there's zero chance they trade him.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. And he certainly would know the context of what the situation is, and he will not make the organization look bad. He might take them to unrestricted free agency and then walk. Hey, couldn't get a deal done, blah, blah, blah. But even if that happens, he wouldn't really have to address it or talk about it until what? Next June? Next year's locker cleanout?
I mean, he'd be asked about it on day one of training camp.
This year. I understand. He'll be asked about it.
Oh, I see.
But he can push that off. If he decides that he doesn't want to sign or he's open to hitting the open market, he won't even have to really say that until he has a new deal. Let's fast forward a year from now. It's locker cleanout day. Yeah, I'd love to be back. Boom. All right. He'd love to be back. He says he'd love to be back. And, you know, that might be true under some circumstances. Maybe they make the playoffs, and this point is moot. So there is a full year to convince him, a full year to talk to him exclusively. You know, that report from Friedman to me lines up with what makes sense. Both sides want to look like they're on good terms, as they probably are.
Right, because even when it's been discussed about could he be, you know, a guy that doesn't stay, it's not like the Paterka thing where it's I got everybody at every corner of the NHL reporting universe telling me, yeah, he's unhappy. This is, he sounded a little weird at the end of season press conference.
Right.
Which is very different.
Yeah.
Like, you're scarred by it, and you're, you know, probably sensitive to it if you are following this team because it's happened so many times already that you're kind of always in a position of bracing for it. Even when it might not be true. He might be out there thinking right now, like, I'm gonna sign on July 2nd with this team. Like, as soon as I'm eligible, like, I think we're probably getting something done.
If they offer $9 million a year, maybe he'll say, sure, sounds great.
Or maybe they negotiate through to, like, right before the start of the season. Didn't Ristolainen go to camp in the final year of his deal and then, like, hold out and they signed him before the start of the year?
I don't know. I
think that happened. I think he went to camp without a contract with 1 year left, and then Murray signed him like the day before the season started. Like, you've got months, I think, before if puck drops opening night and he's only got the 1 year left, then I'm really gonna think like this might be the final year.
I feel like,
but anything before that, I want to be a little tempered about.
If we're playing the what's the real estate element of it game, I think he just built a new house.
Okay,
so.
Just had a new baby.
I've got a buddy that lives nearby.
Yep.
So, you know, does that matter? You could just move back there in 5 years and make this your forever home going to play for the Blues.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't build your house, though, if you were thinking about staying long. Usually you see the opposite, right? Bo Byram moved all his stuff out, right?
That's what they say.
And James Cook put his house on the market. That's generally more.
If we're playing the real estate game.
I think the real estate game ends up being, like, wasn't the first indication Tom Brady was going to leave New England was he put his house on the market? And everyone's like, whatever. He's buying a new house. And then, like, he was gone, like, 4 months later.
Maybe. You also have guys that would have, like, I don't know, four houses in different markets. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We are here. It's a holiday. It's Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth. We are here, though. If you want to join us at any point, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the phone lines are open. Free for all kind of. Shoot it at us, whatever you got. Joe was just going through during the break, and I tweeted it out. As the Sabres head to unrestricted free agency, the draft is 8 days away, and unrestricted free agency hits in July.
12 days till free agency.
12 days. They have signed in five off seasons with Kevin Adams, six players in unrestricted free agency to multi-year contracts.
Right.
Six.
And one of them is Josh Dunn, who's like an Amherst player.
Yeah.
So it's really five.
The six players to get multi-year contracts, Connor Clifton, Ilya Labushkin, Eric Comrie, Cody Eakin, Josh Dunn, and Sam Lafferty. Those are your multi-year contracts with Kevin Adams at the helm of these Buffalo Sabres when you get to unrestricted free agency.
And Clifton, the only one that's more than 2 years.
Yeah.
His was three. So I don't even think it's really even saying anything. Would you be surprised if they didn't sign their biggest free agent signing this offseason? They want to do something big.
Not counting Taylor Hall, because it's
Taylor
1 year, $8 million.
Right. But in terms of total money given out, right now it's Clifton on $10 million.
Yeah, will they give out more than $10 million in free agency?
I think they'll give a player more than $10 million in free agency this summer.
Okay.
The bar is so low. Like, the list of available free agents, I mean, you could scroll down the list. I mean, I'll scroll past all the big guns, Besser and Bennett and Marner and Ekblad, Marchand, John Tavares, Duchesne, Gavrikov. Like, I'll just keep going and going and going. All right, let me get down to Victor Olofsson. Let's pass that one.
Is this the year that
I'm trying to find one that doesn't, like, Patrick Kane? I'm trying to find one that doesn't just, like, mean a million other things.
I mean, I'm looking at the same list, and I was just going to say, is this the year that Patrick Kane's on the team?
Maybe. Does he want to bring Jonathan Toews with him? Because he's back. Is this the year Patrick Kane is back? What has convinced Patrick Kane? If he wasn't convinced of them 2 years ago, I don't know why he'd be convinced now.
Because he wants to play and has fewer options.
Dmitry Orlov is like the seventh, you know, rated defenseman in free agency by the list that I'm looking at. What's he going to cost? Probably more than $10 million total.
Yep.
I think his cap hit was $7 million last year. Or if you want, you know, your goalie. Although that's the one position. If you look at free agency, I think it's pretty flush. I think you got a lot of good forwards and a lot of good defensemen. Some of them are younger. Then you just get down to goaltender, and if you want a goalie, I don't know the free agency is going to be your market because there's not a lot there.
There are three on that I've seen. Jake Allen, 34-year-old Jake Allen.
Right.
Alex Lyon.
Yep.
And Dan Vladar.
Yeah, like we're not talking about, like, Allen would be.
Jake Allen?
Yeah, Jake Allen. Owen's talked about Jake Allen as an idea. My thinking, though, about, like, okay, so he's the number one goalie on the market. You know, Edmonton's going to call him the second they're allowed to. They probably already have. And so will other teams. He's fine. Why is he going to come to Buffalo?
Isn't he the
the Sabres stink and they're always terrible and no palm trees. Like, why is Jake Allen going to come to a goalie picture that has a $5 million starter that's probably penciled in above him and then a kid behind him that the organization loves and is just waiting to come take your job? Like, I almost feel like for them to land any goalie of substance, they have to move one of the two out.
I don't agree with that.
Like, Jake Allen is not coming to Buffalo if Luukkonen and Levi are on the roster.
You can just tell him he's going to start. I mean,
the
thing I would say, well, you could compete as a starter. I mean, he's older.
But that's what I mean. He's got to compete with two guys he could go to Edmonton and he's just the guy. I think that's it.
That's probably right, and he can win. The other thing is he's Lindy's goalie that gets Lindy fired, one of the two. Like, right, it all fell apart with goaltending in New Jersey. He's in New Jersey when that happens?
That's
at the end of the season?
He's at the end of the
season.
Okay,
so maybe there's not much crossover. Here's what I would say about Luukkonen and Levi. The Sabres should not treat Luukkonen like he is a guaranteed product. And I'm officially entering the, I'll believe Devin Levi is a legit goalie when he's on the team. That's it. I'm not saying he's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't spend any more time talking about they love this kid. He's going to be at Rochester for another year. They're going to give him 7 games up here and then decide he's going back to Rochester again. Putting up all these numbers in Rochester, then coming here and not hacking it.
It does feel like we'll go round and round. Like every year, they'll start the year with him here until he proves to them
can't. I want to say I can't do anything with it until it's a real thing anymore. I got swept up in it in his first year, loved everything about it, got really excited, and I've been just waiting since. So not giving up on it. It's very much I'm not going to watch this pot of water get to a boil. I'm going to wait until the teapot starts to actually whistle. I'm not going to think about him until then.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? Should they be planning?
I don't know that you shouldn't count on him, but should we be thinking about him? Because I'm thinking about that he's almost definitely starting the year in Buffalo. Right
okay,
now.
Well, then if it's him and Luukkonen, we're doing another year where you just let's hope the goalie situation works out.
That's my most pessimistic part of their team right now, thinking about them, is that I think that's probably what they're going to start the season with. And I am nervous or like, it's not solid. There are so many ways that could go wrong for you.
803-0550. Get a break in. Paul coming up in a moment. Paul in Buffalo, he's online. We'll get a call in. If you want to give us a ring, you can. It's a free-for-all kind of Thursday. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Kevin Cole, Unexpected Points on the QB GOAT series, where Josh Allen ranks all time and where he can go from here, of course, with some more success. And training camp schedule is out. We'll talk a little bit more about that and what to expect from training camp, the Battle of the Blue and Red, the preseason schedule, all that. Coming up here on WGR. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Bills training camp schedule is out. NHL offseason's underway. We had a trade between the Devils and the Predators. And the NHL draft is a little over a week away. Beautiful outside. Going to be windy, though. Paul in Buffalo joins us here in the first hour. Good morning, Paul.
Quick points about Team USA, the most important hockey coming, the Olympics. Not only, of course, does Tage Thompson have to be on the team, but I think just as important, Alex Tuch needs to be on that team. He is one of the great two-way forwards that America has. And there are lesser players who played in the Four Nations, which we found out. Also, with Team USA, I don't know who the heck I want to be the starting goalie. I think I might take Otter over Hellebuck, but we have enough to choose from there. What I really wanted to talk about, though, is the state of the NHL, which in my 3.5 decades watching hockey, I've never loved the game itself more, just speaking as an objective hockey fan. The Florida Panthers are as good a team as we've seen since the Gretzky-Messier Oilers, it can be argued. And the game has violence and skill and everything you want in it. And yet it just did a terrible rating in the USA. Did a good number in Canada. But just one of the teams being the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid should not destroy the ratings like that. And I don't quite know what the NHL can do to fix that. I don't know if they can do anything, because even financially, the players are no longer in escrow. So financially, the game's honestly never been stronger. But I guess just a U.S. rating is never something they're going to get. You just got to accept it's a regional sport. And in many regions, it's very strong. And you know, if we can get our act together, it'll be strong here again. Anyway, guys, just wanted your thoughts on that. Yeah. Have a good show.
Thanks, Paul. I think one thing you could throw this out as a potential idea, Pierre LeBrun did his, hey, if I were the commissioner, you know what I would do? End the season in May.
Mm-hmm.
It's June.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might be exhausted of hockey. You might have all these it's nice outside where everybody lives. I mean, May right. was terrible. If it was in May. No, May's not often that bad. But the NBA Finals ratings are not very good right now either. I don't know if it's just a cyclical thing or
market. The NHL, it's a very easy explanation.
Market size.
The reason the ratings were down this year is because the games were on TNT.
Yeah.
That's the reason. Oh, they were down. Everyone's jumping at that big number. 40%. From last year.
Were they on ABC last year?
25%. Yeah, they were on ABC last year. The ratings are down 25% from where they're on ABC. They're down 4% from 2 years ago when it was on TNT. It's like almost the same. So it's not to say they weren't down a little bit. It was the lowest rated game six I saw since the Rangers Canucks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Finals in 1994.
It was also not a very compelling game six.
No, but like it really wasn't that far off from 2 years ago. And the story I read was that the NHL knew that was going to happen. That they knew when it's on TNT, the ratings are going to be down a lot, but they're giving us a huge check.
Yep.
So, yes, we're willing to have lower ratings in the name of TNT's going to give us $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's why the ratings
are
down.
Pretty much the entire model of sports. We don't care if fewer people see it.
Right.
If we get more money for it.
That's 100% that's, what happens.
It's an Amazon playoff game. That's
yep. You know, Apple TV having all MLS games.
That's my favorite question to ask anybody in any one of these conversations. If a billionaire said, I want to watch this game alone and nobody else watches it, and I'll give you $2 billion for it.
Would they say yes?
Would they say yes?
Right.
My favorite question. No. How about $5 billion? I'm the only one that gets to watch this game.
Right.
803-0550. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, over the air, broadcast network television versus something you have to have. It's not hard to find TNT, but what if you've unplugged, and what if you only have Netflix and over the air? What if you only have
You'd have to sign
Prime.
Up for HBO Max like just for this if you are a streamer.
Right.
Right? Whereas if you like there are easier ways obviously to get ABC and ESPN.
We're gonna break in. Sal at 7:30 on training camp. I want to tell you a question I was asked, and Baltimore signing Jaire Alexander comes into the answer here. It was a question somebody asked me about the Bills and what I worry about. It happened last week at the Whalen party we had. I'll ask all you this question about the Bills as now we look at the training camp schedule and start to chart our course to the Super Bowl, of course. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.